That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Lefondre looking to get close side of Font. Lefondre away from David. 3-1 Reading. 3 points Reading.
Hello and welcome to the Elm Park Royals preview podcast in association with the Reading Chronicle. I'm here again with Matt Joy. How are you doing, Matt?
Yeah, very well. Very well, thank you. Looking forward to the game tomorrow night.
You just froze at exactly the wrong time there, so I'm hoping that we only lost a bit of that. I'm assuming you were good anyway.
Yes, very well, very well.
Well, it was a good week for Reading in general. Last week we said that 4 points out of the weekend would probably be a good return, and we got 4 points out of the weekend. Paunovic seemed pretty happy. Reading fans seemed pretty happy.
Yeah, I think the derby game, as we said, was the one that you'd been targeting 3 points ahead of the game. Barnsley, obviously, there was the Zhao miss that I'm sure we'll move on to. But I think if you take that miss out of the game, then you would probably struggle to make a very strong argument to say Reading deserved all 3 points. I think Barnsley were good, and they would probably look at that game and think, yeah, perhaps we should have taken all 3 points. So it was one of those where a draw, considering both sides could probably make plausible arguments why they should have maybe had the 3 points, a draw was probably a fair result. And as for Derby, a game full of some great goals, most notably, say, and in fairness, Lawrence's goal was an absolute thunderbolt. So great game full of goals, but nice to see Puskás and Zhao also getting on the score sheet in that one.
Yeah, I mean, I think I was one of the fans that was a bit annoyed that we didn't come out of the Barnsley game with more, considering as their goal was all Reading's own making, like Yeardom giving away a silly penalty. And then, as you pointed out, Reading had not just the Zhao miss, but Meitaitha on goal as well. Like there were a few that I think most people would have wanted us to score more than one, given the chances that we ended up having.
Yeah, and that's a very fair point. But then again, you know, conversely, Barnsley had a goal disallowed late on, which I must admit I've not seen back, but the general gist of it is if that happened down the other end, I think a few Reading fans may be feeling a little bit hard done by. They also hit the post when I think Raphael came out and dropped a bit of a clanger and luckily wasn't punished. So they could arguably have had two or three as well. So it was one of those where it was a very exciting second half. And certainly as the game developed, you thought, it could be one of those where they sneak something late on. So perhaps it was the tension that I was lucky enough to feel in the ground, where by the end of the game, I was quite relieved that Reading did at least come back with something. Perhaps I wouldn't have been as relieved if we hadn't picked up all 3 points on Monday, admittedly, but that has certainly helped soften the blow of Zhao's miss, shall we say.
Yeah, and especially with teams in and around us, also, well, to be fair, the teams around us are all picking up points, but the teams above us seem to be stuttering a little bit.
Yeah. Bournemouth, I think they only got a draw in midweek, and Brentford. Sorry, was it Brentford that only got a draw in midweek? I had to tell a lie. And Swansea, their form hasn't been the best. So it is really set up for a grandstand finish to the season, I think. Whereas maybe two or three game weeks ago, take away the international break, you might have been thinking it's a foregone conclusion for perhaps the top four. Now it's looking certainly less certain. And with 18 points still to play for, I don't think anyone from probably Watford down will be, you know, 100% confident of a top six finish.
Yeah, I mean, it is all getting quite congested. As I mentioned, Paunovic did seem pretty happy with the weekend's work. One of the things that he did touch on was Elise's celebration, which we talked about post-match and for Derby. Just kind of talk us through what he said about it, Matt.
Yeah, it was quite an interesting one. I mean, it was obviously something that got a lot of the conversation going on social media during the game and after the game and, you know, on the podcast. And I asked Paunovic about it, and with those sort of things, you're expecting, you know, the gaffer to say something along the lines of, well, you know, to not really touch on it too much. And he said he didn't want to bite. One of the quotes, I think, it was quite interesting. He said, if he has something to say, he should say it to me, which perhaps, I don't know whether that was necessarily the best thing to say, because it certainly looked to create or looked to sound like there's a little bit of friction between the pair, whether there's a touch of frustration from Elite, you know, that he's not been offered a new, or the deal, the negotiations haven't gone the way he's wanted. I think with the way he did it, there was, you know, there's no ambiguity. There's no cause for, you know, debate on what he meant. It was pretty obvious as to, you know, what he was alluding to. So, yeah, it's, you know, Paunovic, he's a young lad. He likes the attention, and, you know, by all means, he thoroughly warrants it, especially with goals like he scored against Friday, against Derby on Monday, sorry, not Friday. It was an absolutely superb goal. And it's certainly best pleased.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, especially with Paunovic's comments, two and two do often make four. I guess we'll have to see how it plays out. If Reading don't get promoted, then talk of a contract extension may be almost wholly irrelevant in some ways. Some of Paunovic's other comments, he was talking about, well, some more contract extensions with Morrison and McIntyre. They both seem to be going fairly well, although his comments about Morrison's were a little bit odd.
Yeah, I think with Morrison, he said there's, you know, a lot of stuff to do with you know, confidentiality, and he can't say too much. But he said that, you know, talks are ongoing with the two, and he said with McIntyre, he's got faith that he'll be here for a long time. I think out of all the young lads that have come through and, you know, burst onto the scene this year, given McIntyre's allegiance to the club, obviously, you know, his relationship with the supporters and his, you know, his own support of the club, and you would have looked at him as probably the one who'll be the most concrete of staying. With Morrison, he said that he's very confident that he'll be with us next year and for more time after that. So that's, I think, good news. I think those two have been, you know, brilliant in their own rights. Obviously, offer different things. McIntyre, you look at, or I think he's, you know, you've looked at him over the last sort of 12 months, 18 months, and you think he is a ready-made Reading captain in the making. And I think that's, he would be very, very happy with that. And I don't think with McIntyre also, I don't think that necessarily he'd have a huge amount of suitors in the top flight. I think he's a very good championship defender, and he's shown that, but he probably hasn't garnered as many headlines as some of the other players do. So for him, you think, is he going to get a move to that he would see as a better club for him than the club he supports? So, yeah, I think those two, I would say, if, you know, I had to put money on those two either staying or not signing on, I would be quite confident that those two would be here next year.
Do we think there's any kind of games being played in relation to if Reading do or don't go up to the Premier League, then maybe Morrison in particular? I feel like a lot of people are equating his situation to Kasper's Gorks last time we went up. Do we think that's in play?
I think it's pure speculation either way. You know, you without knowing what goes on behind closed doors and what's going on, you know, in the minds of those making the decisions, it's tough to say. Perhaps there is an element of that. Obviously, Morrison has had a few injury problems in the closing stages of this season. But so you look at that and you think, okay, could you rely on a man of, you know, his age, you know, getting an experienced centre-half, should we say? But then again, you know, he was never present before his first injury. So the fitness concerns, I don't think, is necessarily there. And in terms of his quality, he's shown throughout the season that he's, you know, so solid, especially in the air. You know, dealing with onslaughts, there's not many people that you want over him at the back at this level. So perhaps there's an element of that, but I wouldn't like to speculate without meaning to sound like too much of a politician, because put simply, I do not know.
Yeah, I mean, not knowing what goes on behind the club is an issue when it comes to doing podcasts like this, isn't it? But also, so we also have, yeah, sorry, we got two more players who are out injured as well. Although, to be fair, I haven't really touched on that. Paunovic also said that Morrison and McIntyre are both out for the season or until the playoffs at the very least.
Yeah, and that was a tweet that garnered a bit of attention because I said that, you know, Morrison will be back for the playoffs, and I think a few people took that as if Kanovich was saying we're going to be in the playoffs. By all means, that's not what he meant. He said at post match that basically should we reach the playoffs, we'll be hoping to have him back. Yeah, there or thereabouts. Same with McIntyre. But more promising news with Omar Richards. He looks like he'll be fit for tomorrow's game, which is, you know, a massive boost given the quality of him. Although, you know, Lewis Gibson has filled in that role and done a spectacular job in recent weeks. John Swift looks like he's nearing a return, but he's been nearing a return for a while now. But as we sort of touched on before we hit record, that with Swift, I think they're erring on the side of caution. You know, he's had two long-term injuries this year and in an area of the side where Reading are not, you know, short-staffed. There's plenty of options in that central midfield role. I don't think they want to rush him back and risk making it a consistent issue. And Felipe Aruna also looks like he may feature before the end of the season. He was due to either go and have surgery or have one more treatment with the club's medical staff. They opted for the medical staff treatment. I think surgery would have definitely ruled him out for the remainder of the campaign. But the last treatment that he was offered seems to have been working well, or seems to have worked well. He's back in training, and Panovic hopes that, you know, he can build up his match fitness, and with the exception of any, you know, setbacks, he'll be back to play some part in the running.
With all those injuries, the team virtually picks itself at the minute. The one position where there is some debate is the striker. Has Panovic kind of given any hints as to whether he'll retain Puskas or bring Zhao back in?
No, in truth, he didn't, you know, really give too much away on that front. It's a tough one. I mean, you know, both scored last week. Both have got, you know, you could argue for both. I may be tempted to go for Puskas just because I think he brings a little bit more in terms of energy and in terms of, you know, closing down the opposition. I don't think it's necessarily going to be a case where Reading, you know, dominate the ball at Vicarage Road. I think it's going to be such as the, you know, the confidence that Watford will be going into the game with. I don't think that Reading will be on the front foot for long periods. So I think there may be a lot of hard yards needed. And you may suggest that Puskas is better suited to that. But then conversely, you could make a logical argument that Zhao's hold-up play may allow some of the midfield players to, you know, to play off him, and if Reading are looking to break. So it's six or one, half a dozen the other. Now, I think it's a bit of a flip of the coin moment. I would be relatively happy, and I could see why you would pick either. But I think, again, if you press me on it, I think we may see Puskas from the start. So by all means, expect Lucas Shaw to start.
I mean, I do say the team picks itself. We have seen some left field decisions from Paulo. I'm not expecting any. Are you?
No, again, put simply, no. I don't think at this stage he'll want to experiment too much. I think, you know, he'll know what he's up against with Watford. There'll be a game plan in place. And the game plans, you know, they do change from week to week. But you want to keep a relative semblance of consistency in selection just to, you know, get everyone performing at the level they want, or Paunovic wants. And such was the performance level, perhaps not in the first half against Derby. I thought it was a pretty abject display ahead of Elise's goal. But I think in the second half, it was much improved. And you would have thought that they'll want to keep that momentum going should Reading have any chance of, you know, springing a shock up at Watford.
Yeah, I mean, we did beat them at the Medeski, but I just wonder how much Paunovic and the team around him will have actually have got to study Watford's game, given how, you know, how many games we've played this season in such a short amount of time with the new manager that Watford have. But we have seen that Paunovic likes to set up his team almost to negate the opposition. So are we expecting this to be a close match? I'm assuming that there won't be many goals in it.
I would probably agree with that. It's interesting you actually mentioned the game earlier in the season. Paunovic said that we've already proven that, you know, we can beat this side with injuries. I think he alluded to Lucas Zhao's absence that day. George Puskas obviously got the solitary goal, and he said that they're going to be using that as motivation, that, you know, we can get a result. There's not going to be a fear, I don't think, in the team. Whether the Watford's quality ultimately wills out and, you know, they pick up the win, that may be the case. We don't know yet, obviously, but I don't think there's going to be any sense of dread. But yeah, I think Reading will be relatively comfortable to sort of sit back, soak up a fair amount of pressure, because we have seen throughout the season that, you know, Reading don't concede, you know, massive amounts of goals. When they do that, you look at Swansea, I think, is the best example of that. Swansea away, you know, it was a real backs against the wall afternoon or evening, as it was, in that game. You know, Swansea had a lot of the ball, a lot of chances. I think we were thanked, had Raphael to thank for producing a number of incredible stops that night. But we've shown that we can, you know, sit back and soak it up, and, you know, have that faith in the back line. Obviously, we will be without McIntyre and Morrison, but Holmes has looked decent at centre half. Richard back in the Eardon with Moore. You'd be confident that those four can, with Laurent and Laurent and Rinomota sitting in front, you'd definitely be confident that you could soak up a fair bit. My only worry would be, should Watford break through early, how that may ultimately, you know, play out.
Yeah, I mean, Reading haven't been great when conceding the first goal this year, so it's never good. Just before we come to score predictions, and I'll let you know now, I'm not going to leave you in the lurch this time. I have got one. Do we think the fact that Reading are consistently playing on Friday nights before the rest of the other teams play, is that a positive? Has Paolo mentioned that, or do you get a sense from any of the players that that's factoring into their thinking at all?
Yeah, Ivanovic did mention that. He did briefly touch on that yesterday in the press conference. He said, you know, it's a good position to be in, to be able to have a significant impact not only on Reading's season, but potentially on other club seasons and weekends before they play. I think that, yeah, I think it can only be seen as a benefit. You mean, if Reading don't get the win or lose, there'll be that pressure to chase back to say, right, it's a massive game now, we need to capitalise on Reading's slip up. Whereas if you get the win, and then it's all the pressure goes to the other side. So I don't think there's any ways in which that, you know, clubs like Bournemouth will have an easier game, no matter how the result goes on Friday night. So Ivanovic is hopeful that he can, you know, lay down a marker early on in the weekend, and I think, yeah, it can only really be a good thing for Reading.
Right, so we come to that time. Score predictions. I personally, because I'll let you have some time to think about it, I think a 1-1 would do us quite nicely. Just getting anything from Watford, I think, would be a benefit.
Yeah, I would agree, but I think Watford might be too strong. I think my heart, says, you know, Reading will go and spring an upset and get some points on the board, but I think, such as, you know, the quality of Watford and how good they've looked in recent weeks, this game and the Norwich game later on in the running would be the two where I'm looking at and thinking, yeah, I'm not hugely optimistic. So I think it may end up being a narrow defeat. I'm saying that hoping that I'm proven wrong, but I think it may be a defeat by a solitary goal.
Are we allowed to say that in this?
Well,
I feel
bad.
Like we should only be saying positive things.
I think we should, but at the same time, you know, I am a realist, and there would be no shame in, you know, losing by a solitary goal to a club that's, you know, up in the top two. But yeah, like I said, I have to for my own professional integrity, I have to try and be a realist and say that how I think it will go. But I'm happy to be proven wrong, and I really, really hope I am.
Oh, you've got to try and speak these things into existence or whatever, Matt.
Well, in fairness, I called the 4 points last week, so perhaps should go for an away win. For the sake of the podcast, I tell you what, for the sake of the podcast, I'll go for a shock away win. For the sake of my professional integrity, I'll go for a narrow home win.
Well, I guess we'll see which one wins out on Friday night. Thanks very much, Matt. Coming up next, I talk to Voices of the Vic about the Watford season. I'm here with Mike from Voices of the Vic. How are you doing, Mike?
I'm doing very well. Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, no worries. It's been a pretty good season for Watford, hasn't it?
Yeah, considering how it started and where we're at the moment, it's been a topsy-turvy season, I'll give you that. But at the moment, we seem to have hit form pretty much at the right time. So, yeah, I'm delighted with how things are going at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, earlier in the season, Reading obviously picked up a victory over you at the Medeski, and it's been all change in Watford since then. Talk us through why the change of manager and also what the new guy has brought to the club.
Yeah, so Vladimir Ivic was a manager we were very much looking forward to seeing take the reins at Watford. You know, he'd come over from Israel. He managed Maccabi Tel Aviv. I mean, granted, the Israeli league and the championship aren't, you know, they're two completely different leagues. But if you bring in a winning mentality, you know, it doesn't matter what league you're in. If you bring in a winning mentality, usually it will stick. His Maccabi Tel Aviv side conceded 10 goals all of last season. And after we went down, the first thing we needed was to shore up the defence a little bit. And then on top of that, he was, you know, we were told he was an attacking sort of manager, likes his 3-5-2, 4-3-3. And we was like, brilliant. Okay, this is what we want. We played, pre-season was really weird. We played Scunthorpe in a game which nobody even got to know who was playing or what the score was, unless there was someone there. And then we played Tottenham, which was able to watch. And from watching the Tottenham game, I thought, oh boy, we are in for one hell of a season. This is going to be good stuff. The tempo, the pressing, everyone's urgency to get back. And then as the season started and as the games were going on and on, you thought, this isn't that same Watford side. And granted, he never had sort of this a full sort of team to ever pick from because of injuries. You know, Will Hughes was out injured for a long time, and Nathaniel Chowder just wasn't the player he is at the moment. The recognised striker, I did feel he was a bit unlucky in that sense. But yeah, it was a Huddersfield away game, and no disrespect to Huddersfield, but you'd expect the team like us to be picking up 3 points there, and it wasn't to be, and that was the straw that broke the camel's back. And then, you know, if you ever saw Ivic, he was a very stone-faced, serious-looking bloke. I don't think I ever saw him crack a smile, like not even in training. And then they bring in Sisko, who straight away he's smiley, he's jokey, he's happy in his press conference, and automatically a change. And then his first game was one hell of a baptism of fire. It was at home to Norwich. We won 1-0, which was brilliant. And at the end of the final whistle, you almost saw it as if we'd been promoted or we'd got through to a FA Cup final or so, because the togetherness with the players, they were hugging each other, they were smiling, everyone was shaking hands with the manager at the end of the game. And we thought, yeah, we really need a manager like this. And then, yeah, you know, it's not really being straightforward for him. It won't surprise many non-Watford fans to know that there was even talk of Sisko being sacked. He was very stern in his approach and very stubborn. He's 4-4-2. He didn't sort of like to budge from that. And I think he was one game away pretty much from losing his job, which was the Bristol City game, and then changed his formation to 4-3-3. We win 6-0. And then, it's sort of gone on from there, really. So it's been it's never a dull time as a Watford fan, ever.
So, well, that is certainly the case. So you have stuck with that 4-3-3 since then. What does the 4-3-3 bring you that the 4-4-2 didn't?
I think it gives us more sort of license to attack. You know, Ismail Assar, I'll bring him in, for example. He, under Ivic, would be asked to play in a 4-4-2 as the second striker. Ivic isn't a striker. Ivic definitely isn't a striker. Saar isn't a striker. You know, you'd watch games. I think one that stuck out in my mind was Barnsley away. We lost 1-0. It was one of them games. We threw the kitchen sink at him, but he just wasn't going in. And straight away, you could always see Saar drifting out wide because that's what he likes to do. He likes to be out on that wing. Ken Semmer, another player who's as part of that front three, he was being asked to play at sort of left wing back, and we were really restricting him under Ivic. Pedro Sars, complemented by those two either side of him. He's complemented by Saar and Ismail. Yeah, Saar and Ken Semmer either side of him. And then Will Hughes and Nathaniel Chalabar, my word. I know you boys had Chalabar on loan for a short stint, I think it was. But we had him probably not long before you had him. We had him as an 17, 18 year old kid from Chelsea. And he just was like, wow, like this guy's going to be a talent. He's come back to Watford, not had the best times of injuries and everything, but under this 4-3-3, I mean, he's been captain the last, what, 3 or 4 games? And him and Will Hughes in that middle are just being like, wow. Like, they just look so much more comfortable in a 4-3-3. So, I mean, international break come at a bit of a wrong time because we've sort of lost our momentum a little bit in terms of the performances, but the tempo, like, that switch, the 4-3-3 straight away, the tempo, the difference was unbelievable.
Yeah, I think Nathaniel Chalobah, he was with us when we got to the semi-final of the FA Cup, and he was one of our best players that year. And it's nice to see him doing well, even if it's not in a Reading shirt. So, yeah, you've spoken about the attacking outlet that you now have, but you're not conceding many goals either. So is that just because you're always on the front foot, or because there's also this defensive, you know, resilience?
I think that's testament to Vladimir Ivic, to be fair to him. You know, I mentioned his managerial, his defensive record as a manager, and he definitely brought that side to us. You know, there was a time when, yes, we were up there in terms of, you know, home form's always been our strong one this season, but there was a time where, away from home, we just couldn't score, but we never conceded as well. Like, we were the lowest away scorers in the league, but at the same time, we were the lowest away conceders in the league as well. So it you could tell that he was sort of building from the back sort of to the front. And that is testament to him. And, you know, we brought in William Schuster-Kong from our sister club, Udinese, who's had a few shaky games, but overall he's been very, very good. You know, he's captain for Nigeria, his national side. So, you know, you don't get to captain your national side if you're like crap, basically. And then the surprise inclusion for us has been Francisco Sierra at the back, Chilean 23-year-old, absolute man mountain of a player. And the story with him was, we signed him again from Udinese, and we played him in the cup against Newport or Oxford or both. I can't remember which one he played. And he was dreadful. And we was like, any time we saw his name on the bench from there on, we was like, Jesus, like, you know, let's touch wood, no defenders get injured. And we had these masses and masses of Chileans, like, fans in the comment section. Whenever Watford put a tweet out or an Instagram post and it contained Sierra Elsa, these masses and masses of Chilean fans saying how amazing he is. And I thought, if he's amazing, he's really setting the bar low. But he come in against, I can't think who it was against, it might have been Norwich, Cisco's first game. And he only come in because of defensive injuries we had. And he's not lost his place since. He has been incredible. Like, I'd love to see his stats compared to the stats of the rest of the defenders in the league, because he's played considerably less than, say, you a sort of mainstay as a centre-back would be in the league. But I reckon he's definitely up there because he's absolutely incredible. And whenever you come up against a big striker, like, you know, you've got the likes of, sorry to bring this name up after you guys suffered against him, but you've got the likes of Lukas Jukovic from Birmingham City. You've got the likes of Akin Fenwe against Wickham, Uche Pizu, who we both know, in terms of the former clubs, both of us. And, you know, you've got some physical players in that league, physical strikers, but we always sort of worry. But when CRL's up against them, you're sort of a little bit more at ease.
Yeah, I mean, as you say, I mean, it's always good to have those defensive centre-backs who can deal with it, because that was one of our problems, as you mentioned, with Jukovic. It was a day where Liam Moore didn't have the best of games and he was kind of bullied a little bit, and that's never a good sign. Mm. So turning our thoughts towards the game on Friday night, how do you think it's going to go? Do you expect it to be a more competitive match than it was at the Medeski with a few more goals?
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, you know, the international break come at the wrong time for us. I don't know whether that's the feeling in the Reading camp as well, or I don't know. But like, we'd won five on a bounce going into the international break. We then played Sheffield Wednesday, and it would seem that they were saving all their goals for the Cardiff game, the game after, because they just, like, it wasn't convincing 1-0 win at all. And at that stage of the season, you can sort of get away with saying, well, you know, sometimes you have to win ugly as well, and that's what gets you over the line. But it weren't convincing at all. And then obviously we drew on Easter Monday with Middlesbrough. At the time before the game, I would have accepted a point away at Middlesbrough. But with the circumstances for leading for so long and giving away a silly free kick, which then eventually led to the goal, I was disappointed. But after Birmingham did us another favour last night, it's definitely a point gained than 2 points dropped for our case. So we need to be more clinical against you guys. You know, Lucas Zhao, he's a name that sort of sticks out for me for you guys. I think that Puskas, did he score the winner at your place earlier this season? Was it Puskas?
Yes. Yeah.
So, you know, I know he's not been, if my understanding is correct, he's not been great this season. I might be wrong there, but that's generally the type of striker that tends to do well against Watford. He's the one that's not really in form. But I'm expecting it to be a close encounter, to be honest. I really want us to go for it because we've got three home games left, I want to say. And I think we probably need about four wins to secure promotion. And I'm definitely looking at those three home games to win them. Although the last game of the season is at home to Swansea. So I'm sort of hoping we wrap it up before then. But yeah, definitely want to see much more eagerness is probably the word. And us to be more clinical. Because if we don't, we won't get away with it against a team like you boys.
Yeah, I mean, George Puskas has been injured for most of the season, which I think gets lost in the discussion around him a little bit. He scored on Easter Monday, following up on a Mate shot. Whether he'll start or not is still, you know, up in the air with Lucas Zhao hopefully coming back into some form. You've talked about your promotion chances there. Give us a number. Like, do you think at the end of this season, Watford will be celebrating promotion to the Premier League?
I never like being confident as a Watford fan because I was saying to you before we recorded, we do not do things the easy way at all. We will make this, we're 10 points clear at the moment, but we will make this the hardest way possible to get promoted. I just know it. I'd like to think we will. We've still got to play Norwich, Brentford and Swansea. That's my worry. Norwich possibly could get promoted with the game that they've got to play against us. Don't quote me on that, I'm not 100% sure. But, you know, Brentford at the moment seem to have hit a little bit of a lull. You know, hopefully that continues. Swansea, I don't know what's happening at Swansea. Long may that continue. I mean, you know, it's you guys aren't far behind them. I think if you were to win on Friday, you possibly, go level of points with Swansea? So
I think so, yeah.
That just goes to show how much they've fallen. So, you know, In short, do I think that we'll get promoted? Sorry, yeah, I think we'll do it. But we'll make hard work of it. Let me tell you that. Like, it's not going to be easy. There'll be some more twists and turns. I can assure you that. And it'll scare the hell out of me if you boys come away something on Friday night.
Well, I'm sure that if you don't get promoted, this will be clipped off and used to haunt you for several yes. years to come. Just finally, what's your score prediction then? It sounds like you think that you're going to run out winners, but yeah, what scoreline?
It's going to be a narrow game. I purely only fancy us because we're at home. You know, we picked up 50 points at the Vic this season. That's the most in the whole of the in the English leagues. So, because we're at home, I'm going to go with a 2-1 win. 2-1. But it will be closely contested.
Well, I think I'll go with a 1-1 draw because I would very much take a point from Vicarage Road. Mike, thanks very much for joining us. Good luck for the rest of the season. And you know what? I'm pretty sure that you'll be in the Premier League next year too.
Fingers crossed. Thank you for having me.